This episode is brought to you by Odmo's Pizza in Cambie. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider. Delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Cambie,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This, Cambie podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. Representative Kurt Schrader's congressional career has been successfully ended after 7 terms thanks to a successful primary by a more progressive challenger, Central Oregon attorney Jamie McLeod Skinner. The loss, which was delayed for days due to ballot counting issues in Clackamas County, but became obvious late this week, marks a new and uncertain chapter for Schrader, 70, whose political career has spanned 25 years in Congress and the Oregon legislature. Before that, the former Oregon City veterinarian and longtime Cambie area resident had served 16 years on the Cambie Planning Commission. The final margins might change as Clackamas County, Schrader's home, continues processing almost 35,000 damaged ballots, but McLeod Skinner received almost 57% of the votes counted in the 5th Congressional District, which spans Portland to Bend. McLeod Skinner tweeted that she was honored to be nominated shortly after the Associated Press called her race on Friday morning. From Selwood to Sun River, Oregonians never stop believing we can protect our families, our climate, and our civil rights, she said. Oregonians, this is your victory. It's the first time in 42 years that party-affiliated voters in Oregon have ousted a sitting member of Congress in a primary election. Schrader conceded defeat Friday evening in a statement released by his campaign. The majority of Democrats have chosen a different direction for now, he said. I congratulate my opponent on her tireless efforts and successful primary campaign. McLeod Skinner will face Lori Chavez de Remer, a former mayor of Happy Valley who lives just outside the new boundaries of Oregon's 5th, which is allowed under state law. Chavez de Remer won her 5-way primary race for the GOP nod with 45% of the vote, beating out former energy investor Jimmy Crumpbacker, who nabbed 29%. The race will be a close one in the fall. Forecasters at the Cook Political Report classified it as a toss-up, and forecasters at CQ Roll Call moved it from likely Democratic to lean Democratic after the primary. The National Republican Congressional Committee views the 5th District as a pickup opportunity, and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee spent the primary season campaigning for Schrader and attacking McLeod Skinner. Schrader significantly outraised and outspent McLeod Skinner. He collected nearly $2.3 million since January of 2021 and spent almost $3.5 million, including reserves from previous campaign cycles. McLeod Skinner raised a more modest $693,000 and spent $579,000. And he earned the endorsement of President Joe Biden, appearing with him during a visit to Portland earlier this year. But he angered progressive Democrats across the district with his votes against pandemic aid and pharmaceutical regulation last year. And in a sign of the spreading discontent, Democratic officials in the 4 Oregon counties that now comprise the 5th endorsed McLeod Skinner in the run-up to the primary. Despite the party's work, Schrader pulled out clear, though not convincing, victories in 3 of the district's 4 main counties, capturing 53-55% of the vote in Clackamas, Lynn, and Marion counties. But it was not enough to overcome McLeod Skinner's huge victory in her home base of Deschutes County, which includes Bend, where she claimed 71% to Schrader's 29%. A Canby resident was killed and three other people critically injured when a man crashed a Tesla Model S into a utility pole on Highway 138E near Diamond Lake on Wednesday night, Oregon State Police said. The crash was reported at about 8:35 p.m. Wednesday on Highway 138E, just north of Diamond Lake, which is located in Douglas County near Crater Lake National Park. Initial reports said Howard Berry, 67, in Milwaukee, was speeding west on the highway when the black Tesla Model S he was driving went off the road and struck a utility pole. Berry and two of his passengers, Richard Edlin, 67, in Milwaukee, and John Ruffert, 66, of Tigard, were transported to undisclosed hospitals by helicopter air ambulance. A fourth passenger, identified as Colby Edlin, 37, of Canby, was pronounced dead at the scene. According to his LinkedIn page, Edlin was a U.S. Navy veteran and a computer systems administrator for the state of Oregon for the past 8 years. Speed and alcohol use are being investigated as contributing factors in the crash, state police said. Sources told The Current that the three older men were old friends who had gathered in the Diamond Lake for an annual fishing trip and that Richard Edlin had invited his son, Colby, to join in. Reached Thursday evening, OSP could confirm only that the two Edlins were father and son. The highway was closed for 30 minutes while first responders and investigators worked the scene. OSP was assisted by the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, Diamond Lake Volunteers, Air Reach, Pacific Power, and ODOT. Out of unspeakable tragedy has come an outpouring of support and sympathy for the tiny, close-knit community of Uvalde, Texas, which this week was the site of the second deadliest school shooting in U.S. history, in which 19 fourth-grade students and two teachers were gunned down in their classrooms. In addition to being sons and daughters, sisters and brothers, children far too young to experience such horrific violence, several of the victims were athletes, and it was this connection that enabled the Canby Rebels, the local youth fast pitch organization, to bridge a 2,000-mile gap between their two communities and make a positive impact. When Rebels coach James Heckathorn learned that four of the victims, Tess Mata, Alexandra Rubio, Eliana Cruz Torres, and McKenna Elrod, were Little League softball players, the first bud of an idea began to take shape. It came from a place of us wanting to do something productive from so far away, Heckathorn explained. Oftentimes, when a tragedy happens, we find ourselves feeling so helpless, and we just started talking with our girls about what they were feeling and what we could do to honor these kids. Heckathorn approached Canby Signs and Graphics about producing a sticker that the Rebels and other teams could wear in support of Uvalde and the four young softball players the community lost. We thought we could maybe do a helmet sticker with their names on it, Heckathorn said. I made a phone call to Canby Signs and Graphics, and after no more than 30 seconds of conversation, project manager Zach Allott was like, say no more, we'd love to help you out with your cause. Allott, who is also the father of a daughter in the fourth grade, admitted the project was an emotional one for him and his team. We had to look up these girls' names with tears in our eyes as we were designing the sticker in their memory, he said. But when we see our local community coming together to help in tragedy, we're going to do our part. They're doing an amazing thing in the face of tragedy, and that's what we should all try to do. Canby Graphics agreed to donate the cost of printing the stickers, which Heckathorn and the Rebels have been selling to teams and individuals for $4 each, or $40 per team. All proceeds go to the Robb School Memorial Fund, which supports the families affected by the tragedy. Heckathorn began sharing the fundraiser with the Portland metro area softball community on Wednesday evening with the goal of raising $1,000. They had met that goal before noon the following day. By Friday, the team had sold upwards of 1,000 stickers and raised more than $3,600 for the victims' families, with donations coming from all over the country. The Rebels have even connected with the Little League team in Uvalde, which will soon be receiving their own special batch of Play for Uvalde stickers printed right here in Canby. It's been really inspiring to see how quickly a community can come together to do something great, Eka Thorne said. With a tragedy like this and all the helplessness and hopelessness that you feel, it's incredible to make an impact and embrace a community from afar. I know it's just a sticker, but it represents so much more than that. Eka Thorne and the Rebels will be collecting donations through June and donated in the name of the Northwest Fast Pitch community. For information about how you can support the fundraiser or donate to the Robb School Memorial Fund, find this story on our website at canbefirst.com. Cougar Country Hometown Sports Coverage is brought to you by Reif & Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm that Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR and Instagram at Cougar Country POD. From the second, Canby senior designated hitter Clayton Langdale connected with the pitch thrown by Mountainside hurler Austin Wolf in the seventh inning of a 0-0 stalemate in the OSAA State Baseball quarterfinals. He knew it was going far. But he certainly didn't know it was going out of the park or that it would prove to be the game winner in a grueling matchup that would propel his Cougars to their first 6A semifinals in more than 25 years. It felt like nothing, Langdale told Now Hear This Canby with a happy laugh afterward. The feeling of squaring up the ball, you don't feel much, but it's the best feeling in the world. When I hit it, I knew it was going far. I didn't know it was going out, but I knew I had hit it hard. Langdale, who went 2-for-3 on Friday with a single in the second inning, said it had not been his goal to not win out of the park. All I was going for was a base hit, he said. Just trying to get on base, trying to start something. And I knew if I didn't do it, we've got 8 other guys in the lineup that will. The solo shot would be the only run either team would manage in the tight, well-defended pitcher's duel, but it would be enough as number 14 Canby defeated the 6th-ranked Mountainside 1-0 on their home field to earn their second straight playoff upset and 7th win in a row. While Langdale's incredible shot will long be remembered, the other biggest storyline of the game was no doubt the masterful performances by the team's 2 starting pitchers. Senior Jason Nofsinger threw 6 complete innings for the Cougs, allowing only 4 hits and no runs. And though he recorded only 1 strikeout, he and the tireless defense behind him worked together in near flawless precision, frustrating the Mavericks all afternoon and keeping them off base. Canby brought in their top hurler, Joe Brockmiller, in the 7th for the save. Brockmiller had exuded an air of supreme confidence as he exited the bullpen in the bottom of the 7th, telling his coaches and teammates simply, "I'm ready," before heading to the mound. After last week's stunning upset over 3rd-ranked South Medford, Canby has now completed 2 straight upsets over teams with better records and better seeding. Canby will go on to face number 7 Clackamas, 26-4, 15-1 Mount Hood Conference, on Tuesday, May 31st. The Cavaliers made the semifinals after ending the 18th-seeded Lake Oswego's own Cinderella story on Friday. It marks Canby's first trip to the quarterfinal since 1996, when the Cougs lost to the eventual 4A champs, Mazama High School in Klamath Falls. If they win, they'll face a familiar foe, TRL rivals West Lynn or Lake Ridge, for the state title on June 4th at Volcano Stadium. First pitch will be at 5 p.m. For photos, visit canbefirst.com or follow the Canby Current on Facebook and Instagram at Canby Current.
Hey, Frankie, I've loved working on this show with you and all, but I think it's time I go all in on becoming a full-time gamer.
Oh, yeah? That's great, but aren't you always talking about getting owned by, like, 11-year-olds in Warzone and stuff
No. That was because my upload speeds, remember? Mm. Whenever I had to drop on someone, I would get destroyed because of the internet lag.
Right. Internet lag.
Anyway, that all changed when I switched to DirectLink. My upload speeds are way faster now, and my online rank has improved a ton. Bro, I'm gonna be Twitch famous.
I'm glad to hear it. And you know, just in case, if the whole professional gamer thing doesn't work out, it will help you with uploading files for the show.
Not a chance, my man! And hey, when I become famous and bring in the big bucks from that sweet, sweet Twitch contract, you'll be the first to hear, I told you so. I've got the skills, and now I've got the reliable internet. It's just a matter of time.
I'm rooting for you, buddy. Hey, before all that, how about you remind our listeners how they can get the best and fastest upload speeds in Canby?
Just go to directlink.coop/internet or call them at 503-266-8111, then pick the plan that's right for you. Every speed, not just their top tiers, come with unlimited data and upload speeds up to 10 times faster than other providers. Give them a call, and just like my Twitch career, you won't
I'm
be
Roz
disappointed.
Mason, running for Oregon Senate District 26. I am committed to funding and supporting our police. I'm a licensed armed security officer in the state of Oregon and an active member of a police chaplain association. In the Mount Hood District, we know our communities require safety provided by the police. Law enforcement officers respond to many types of calls. Across the nation, police departments are adding cutting-edge programs that diversify 911 response, sending specially trained teams to mental health or addiction crises when needed. Security is an essential function of our government. Send me to Salem, and I will work to ensure our communities benefit from the most effective safety responses, which also keep our law enforcement officers safer. Paid for by Mason for Oregon, 21968.
All right, joining us once again on the Canby Conversation today, we're excited to be talking with Steve Nelson. He's the Director of Development at the Canby Center. Hi, Steve.
Hello, how are you?
You guys can't tell, but coming at you from the Director Ray Keene's office. I don't know if we're going to get in trouble for this. Steve swears we have permission, so...
I'm feeling like I might be in hot water here, so... We'll mind our P's and Q's.
Okay, so this might be our last interview with Steve. No kidding. Steve, tell us what's going on at the Canby Center coming into this summer. From what I am experiencing with the weather forecast, they promised me summer is coming.
I'm hoping for that. Of course, this time of year, every day with the sun in it is a bonus day.
Yes.
I'm well aware of that.
Yes, yes. And I feel like we pay for that with like two extra days of just disgusting weather. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, for the Canby Center right now, we're excited about the summer schedule coming up.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of opportunity to serve people. One of the things that's really awesome about the summer is that we have local providers for, you know, vegetables and things like that. So we have a constant supply of really top quality, fresh food coming into the Canby Center.
Nice.
And we love sharing that with the public who, you know, benefits from that.
Yeah. So. Very cool. Yeah. Do you have, you know, farmers coming up with just trucks loaded with rutabagas or whatever? Yeah, what's it look like?
Yeah, sometimes we do get those trucks. And sometimes it's, you know, residents here that have a really cool garden. They bring it in. Yeah.
Nice.
And people can drop those beautiful vegetables or fruit anytime here in front of the Canby Center. But the regular supply comes from some of the larger farms in the area.
Yeah.
So Martinez Farms provides us with a full truckload of fresh produce one day a week.
Yeah.
We also get a good supply of produce from Caruso Farms, a Caruso distribution here in town.
Yeah.
They're usually giving us all the fruit we need for our Backpack Buddies program.
Yeah.
And then other fruit as it comes in.
Yeah, so, really large operations. Yes. Some of them. Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that obviously happens in the summer, school's out. Here at the Canby Center, you guys have some programs, and you kind of just get to see more kids than maybe you do during when school's in session, and they're across the street there at the high school or wherever.
Yeah, we love connecting with kids in the summertime.
Yeah.
And this summer, we are preparing now for our summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
These are day camps that will be held at Ackerman.
Oh, cool.
For elementary school kids. Mm. And we've got 3 weeks lined up starting July 18th.
Okay.
Where kids will come and just have a really fun day of being with other kids. They'll do some craft things. They'll do some activity things.
Yeah.
Just getting a chance to be a kid in the summertime.
Awesome.
During their week. And I know last year was so fun. The kids that went to it, we heard just lots of comments about how much they enjoyed it.
And yeah.
So it's going to be another one of those. We're expecting probably 200 or more kids over this three-week period. And it's the kind of situation where parents can go online to the Canby Center website.
Yeah.
And sign up their kids for this event.
Yeah.
Do need to do that. It's not a walk-in type of situation, just because we want to plan for the number of kids that are going to be there.
Right, right. Tell us a little bit more, if you would, kind of what the feel is of the camps, what the programming is maybe. Like you mentioned, this was piloted last year in partnership with the school district. But maybe for folks who haven't volunteered here, haven't been through the Canby Center, maybe just associate this center with, food and some of the things, but don't necessarily think, oh, the Canby Center, they do fun stuff for kids or whatever. So.
Yeah. It's a great question. This activity is a structured camp, day camp, if you will.
Yeah.
Where there'll be a schedule.
Yeah.
And kids will come. The biggest thing is we want kids to feel welcome in the environment.
Yeah.
So they're going to connect with adults who are encouraging them, giving them opportunity to do fun stuff. Depending on the weather, and usually by July we have pretty good weather.
Yeah.
So we'll be doing just organized activities outside. Yeah. It's all supervised.
Right.
It's a safe environment. And then there'll also be food supplied during the time. So I think they have a snack time and maybe even a lunch time that's part of the programming there.
Nice.
The big thing is just being with other kids and doing fun stuff in a safe and encouraging environment.
Yeah. It's a funny question for me because of my background with Canby, but my first experience coming out here was working at a summer camp at Canby Grove. That's the very first time I ever came to Oregon or Canby, obviously. But COVID past couple of years hasn't helped, but coming back from the pandemic now, but even before, summer camp's a real need in this area, in this community, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, something for just programming for kids.
It really is. Yeah. It's good for families because it gives the parents a little bit of a break too.
Yeah. Or
they
tell me about it.
Drop their kids in a safe environment and go, do shopping or have coffee with a friend or whatever.
Sold.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. And, they do learn things too.
Right.
Some of the crafts that they do are kind of the little skills you want them to know.
Right.
And they'll be able to do it again, down the road and recreate whatever it is that they're making.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's, I joke about it, but camps are amazing because they are... they're the one form of babysitting that you don't have to negotiate and sell to the kid, right? They're the one form of babysitting that they're like, oh, can I go to camp again next week? Like, they love it,
Well, and, part of it that makes it so fun is the people who are running it.
Mm,
And I just love the people we have lined up to do this.
Yeah. Is it a lot of, teachers or teens?
There's some past teachers and current teachers. There are some other adults in the community who'll be involved. There'll be a fair amount of volunteer teens that come in.
Yeah.
And then there'll be a few paid teens as well.
Okay.
So they'll be excited about doing this over a three-week period.
Yeah.
And they're used to organizing activities that kids love to do.
Yeah. Is it bilingual?
We will be doing most things in English this time.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. Is it where can folks find out more information?
The website, the Canby Center,
yeah.
.org is the place to go check that out. And there's a tab there called Summer Camp.
Okay.
You can find out the answers to questions you have about that. You can sign up as well.
Yeah.
If you have additional questions, there's contact information there too. So you can call somebody and talk to them about any specific questions or needs that you have.
Yeah. Yeah. So, fantastic. Yeah. What else is happening at the Canby Center?
You know, summer, you would think maybe things would slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
And they do as far as programming in the schools.
Yeah.
But many of our other programs, this is a really busy time for them.
Yeah.
So we'll continue to do our harvest share.
Yeah.
Where we're providing food for people 3 days a week, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. We'll also be doing our clothing. We'll share clothing with people who need that.
Yeah.
It's ongoing. We are serving lunches still, Monday through Thursday, from 11 to 1.
Throughout the summer?
Throughout the summer.
Okay.
Anybody who...
Hot lunches?
Hot lunch, yeah. Really good food.
Yeah.
It's a real variety. Our cook... is he loves international cuisine.
Oh, nice.
And so, you know, you might be getting a Hungarian meal one day and another meal, Lebanese food. And he has a great skill.
Yeah, very intriguing.
And, so that's busy. And it's also a busy time for volunteers as well. There's a lot of volunteers here working. But I guess I did want to mention to you that we do have some volunteer needs. So if there's anybody out there who wants to help us get things done around here, there's some specific volunteer needs that would really be a big help.
Yeah. Are you looking for certain certain folks with certain types of skills or just a certain giftings?
Yeah, I think right now we could really use some drivers, people be willing to go to pick up food.
Yeah.
We could use some equipment operators. If there's somebody out there who wants to use a forklift or can handle a pallet jack, moving things around, that would be a big help.
Do you need a CDL and stuff for that kind of stuff?
We'll actually train you for operating a forklift.
Yeah.
We can take care of that here.
Nice.
And the drivers are going to be likely using our vehicles to do it. So we have a small van that's really easy to drive. You know, you do have to get checked out on that. We're also looking for reception people who would be willing to do reception during lunchtime.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
That kind of frees up our staff members a little bit. That would be a big help for us to have a 11 to 1 person to do reception for us.
Yeah.
Well, kitchen help, lunch help. We're serving for about 60 people a day right now on our lunch.
Yeah.
So there's always needs for kitchen help or serving help.
Any podcasting needs? Any needs for copy editing? You know, I'm just trying to think of my skills. No, I'm just kidding. Tell me about kind of, or I guess give me your elevator pitch, if you will, or sell me a little bit, but the experience of volunteering here and what folks tend to get from that, from being able to serve people in their own communities way.
I love that question because it's a fun thing to watch.
Yeah.
When people come here to volunteer, they leave feeling really good.
Yeah.
They did something that mattered.
Yeah.
The environment here is safe and encouraging.
Yeah.
It's a community environment. Yeah. So people from all different, you know, walks within Canby are together here at the Canby Center doing things together.
Yeah.
And so that's a really special part of the environment too.
Sure.
All that happens in a safe place and, you know, it does make people feel good. And there are many other ways that people can help too.
Yeah.
We are, if somebody comes forward and says, I just want to do something to help, we'll find something that you can do to help here.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a team doing some mailing type activity,
right.
You know, folding letters.
That's the main qualification, that willingness.
Yeah. Just say, yeah, I want to help.
Yeah.
And we'll find something for you to do.
Yeah. Awesome. I always love that. I know you guys really closely track. We've got here in Ray's office a screen with all the numbers and graphs and everything on it. But I know you guys really track the numbers. Are we seeing a pretty steady need in our community? Are we seeing increased need? We've got inflation. We've got gas prices. We've got all kinds of continuing. I feel like we go over this every interview we have. It's like, oh, this is the craziest it's been. No, now it's the craziest it's been. But are we seeing kind of steady need, increasing needs impacting our community?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to watch over the years.
Yeah.
You know, because there are these ups and downs.
Right.
We had that just incredible blowout during the beginning of COVID.
Right. March and April of 2020.
Right now, we are seeing pretty steady need for what we are doing.
Yeah.
The numbers over the last 2 months, we've added 42 new families.
Okay.
And I think that because of the conditions going on right now with inflation and some of the prices that we're all just shocked about, that's starting to show up in people's lives and making it more difficult for them to just make ends meet. So we expect that those numbers are going to continue to climb while these conditions are being seen here. And the good news is that, you know, we're getting lots of support to meet those needs. There's a lot of compassion out there.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask as well, is if those is particularly inflation with regard to food and, you know, other basic needs that you guys service, if that's kind of crunching you at all. It seems like the generosity of the community so far is measuring up to inflation's no match for
I think if as I look at it overall, our community does step up to help. But we do see these ups and downs along the year, and summertime's typically a real low time for us in terms of those donations coming in.
Yeah.
And it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, there's vacations going on, people have lives going on, and they might not think that the need is as large as it is in colder times during the year,
right?
We all know end of the year is going to be a big, big need there.
Yeah.
But so I would just say, you know, for those of you who do, you know, have compassion about what we're doing and interest in what we're doing, this is a good time to make a donation. Mm-hmm. The summertime is a needy time as well.
Yeah.
And we could really use your help.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Last question I wanted to ask you, Steve, but I always like to ask because I know so many amazing things happen here at the Canby Center, and you guys are often sharing stories and moments through your social media, so definitely follow the Canby Center if you want to get some of those inspiring moments. But is there something cool that's maybe happened in the past couple months since we last spoke? Maybe either just a random donation or just a cool moment that you want to share?
Yeah, I think of a person who came to the Canby Center who was really, really struggling, facing some abuse at home, a scary situation, frankly. She came to us, she heard that the Canby Center might be able to help.
Yeah.
And we were able to come alongside her, provide her with some food for her family. We were able to get her connected to some outside help that she needed.
Yeah.
And as a result of bringing some security into her life, her life just turned around.
Yeah.
She went from that situation where she was barely working to now she's a full-time worker here in Canby.
Yeah.
She's gotten a couple of promotions in the last 3 months.
Yeah.
Her life's just turned around completely because she got some support. Somebody came alongside of her and said, what can we do to help? And then did it.
Yeah.
And these are the stories that really impact our community.
Yeah.
I love watching those. And
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. That's something that I talk about a lot, is it kind of the way that when someone or you yourself are struggling or having a difficult moment, the way that the actions or words of others can be magnified positively or negatively, right? Where maybe something said, in kindness or in meanness could really make a much deeper impact, and to really take advantage of those opportunities, hopefully to do something good. So, because even just a tiny act of kindness to someone who's really struggling can, like you saw with this person, it sounds like, just really turn things around in an amazing way. So.
Yeah, lives can change.
Yeah.
On with those kinds of encouragement,
yeah.
Or they can change, like you mentioned, you know, the opposite direction with just be done. But You know, that's really a lot of what we do. It's about renewing dignity. When people have an opportunity for that, anything is possible.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Steve, thanks so much for taking time out today. Anything else that you'd like to share or talk about before we go?
My pleasure. I just want to invite everybody in our community to come by the Canby Center and experience something here, either volunteering, come for a meal, share a conversation with someone here.
Yep, you'll find Steve in the office. As soon as you turn, come in, turn to the right. It says Ray Keen on the door, but that's where he'll be. So.
Yeah, perfect.
Hey, Tyler. Read any good books lately?
Yeah, actually, I'm reading a really good one right now.
Awesome. What's it about?
It's kind of complicated, but there's like these two kids with an absent parent, and then this mysterious stranger shows up with his sinister accomplices, and they just start wreaking havoc in their lives. I think it's like a Faustian metaphor.
Wow, that sounds really dense.
It is.
Interesting, though. Who wrote it?
You know, I think it's like a doctor, starts with like an S or something, Sass, Sos.
Tyler, are you reading The Cat in the Hat?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to. It's taken me like 2 months to get this far.
Okay. Well, hey, whatever your interest or reading level, open the world of all things books at the Book Nook in downtown Canby.
Yeah, guys, this local independently owned and operated store is your one-stop shop for the latest releases and great deals on a huge variety of previously owned books, as well as games, art, and writing supplies and gifts.
They also do book clubs and game nights if you're looking for some fun, healthy activities right here in Canby. And hey, you know, for you, Tyler, they have a really expansive selection of children's books.
Oh, cool. Anyway, check them out on Facebook and Instagram, online at booknookcanby.com, or stop by 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue and let their friendly staff introduce you to your new favorite read. Hey, Frankie, why do you think I'd be interested in children's books?
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I'm AJ. I'm your local Oddmos franchise owner.
I'm Mike, co-founder of Oddmos.
And we're the hosts of The Odd Pod, a podcast about
life in the pizza industry. We're going to have on some franchisees. We're going to have some different vendors on. We're going to get a snapshot of what goes on behind the scenes in the pizza world.
Don't forget to tell them about the sports.
They're sports.
And the crazy wacky pizza that we have every Wednesday that we create. And we also have a special guest every week as well.
And I'm Gage, Odd Pod senior sports analyst.
Gage, who gave you that title?
Me.
Oh boy. Find us on Spotify and Apple Music and the Podbean.
Can Be Then is brought to you by Retro Revival. They are not your average antique shop. Open daily. Find them on the corner of Northwest 3rd and Grant in downtown Canby, or connect with them on Facebook or through email at retrorevivaloc@gmail.com. In honor of the Memorial Day holiday, we wanted to take this time to look back at the story of one of our decorated local service members. Seiyu Frank Higashi was born in Los Angeles, California in August 1918 to Japanese immigrants from the island prefecture of Okinawa. As such, he lived through two world wars, narrowly escaping the first, but destined to play a pivotal role in the second. Higashi and his family returned to Okinawa shortly after he was born, and he grew up in a tiny village known as Nago. At 18, he came back to the United States to finish high school in Los Angeles. He would not see his family again for 8 years until he returned to Okinawa again, this time as an invading soldier and liberator. Higashi enlisted in the United States Army a few months after the attack on Pearl Harbor. As a second-generation Japanese American, he was one of the Nisei soldiers, courageous service members who were despised by Japanese forces and endured prejudice and suspicion from their own American countrymen to become among the most decorated heroes of the war.
Higashi received special training at Fort Snelling, where he graduated at the top of his class for a mission that was critical to the military's planned invasion of Okinawa. Okinawa, a 66-mile-long narrow strip of subtropical jungles and beaches, is the smallest and least populated of the five main islands of Japan, but was a linchpin of the United States' strategy to defeat the Imperial Army. Thanks to his childhood growing up on the island, Higashi had learned the Okinawa dialect, which is not standard Japanese. As such, he was attached as an interpreter for a 10-member unit of the Military Intelligence Service during the 3-month Battle of Okinawa. The campaign was brief but bloody. Nearly 100,000 Imperial Japanese troops and 150,000 Okinawans, about half of the island's pre-war population, died or committed suicide during the fighting, numbers that shocked American military strategists and were probably inflated by the Japanese people's reluctance to surrender under any circumstances. Military historians give much credit to the efforts of Nisei linguists, including the Military Intelligence Service, in sweeping caves, intercepting and translating documents written in Japanese, and communicating with the local Okinawan people to help bring the battle to a quicker end. The Nisei shortened the Pacific War by 2 years and saved possibly 1 million American lives, Major General Charles Willoughby later said. The day before the fighting officially ended on June 22, 1945, Higashi managed to track down his aging father in Nago. A photo of the pair taken by the U.S. Army Signal Corps was sent back to the home front and published in dozens of newspapers across the country. After the war, Higashi and his wife settled in Southern California, later relocating to Sunnyvale. He raised 4 children while he worked as a gardener. In the mid-1990s, Higashi found himself fighting an altogether different but no less formidable battle, this time in the form of prostate cancer. Surviving that, he was diagnosed with colon cancer in 2006, and he beat that too. Higashi and his fellow members of the Military Intelligence Service, along with other World War II-era Nisei units, were awarded the Congressional Gold Medal in 2011. He eventually moved to the Canby area to be near one of his daughters, Irene Brashears, who, with her husband Mike, was instrumental in the creation of the Vietnam-era Veterans Memorial in Canby. He joined the Canby Aurora VFW Post 6057 and was its oldest member. Seiyu Frank Higashi died November 15, 2020. He was 102. Thanks for listening. From all of us at the Canby Current and Now Hear This, Canby, we wish you and your loved ones a safe, happy, and meaningful Memorial Day.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears? Even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yeah, heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This, Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby. by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Cambie is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Cambie's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.